Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you once again for giving my delegation the floor. My delegation's intervention in this segment builds on our earlier remarks, which laid down our overall perspective and priorities for the GGE's work. We also thank the ICRC and the civil society representatives for their engagement, contributions, and continued advocacy. We encourage them to continue this useful work. Mr. Chairman, since you have also invited us to consider the challenges posed by laws to IHL, my remarks will summarize our views on this particular aspect. Our discussions have again reaffirmed the universal principle that the means, methods, and tools of warfare are not unlimited, but rather constrained and regulated by a number of legal frameworks, including IHL. My delegation has continued to underscore that the purposes and objectives of the convention should guide the overall work of the GGE. Mr. Chairman, IHL has been a fundamental tool, among others, that has shaped the development of modern rules governing warfare and its means and methods. The IHL has progressively stipulated prohibitions, limits, regulations on various types and categories of weapons, commensurate with the changing circumstances, contexts, and needs. In the context of their impact and intersection with IHL, laws are not so different from, and perhaps even more worrisome than, some WMD technologies. Moreover, the uniqueness of the features and characteristics of laws, as highlighted, poses distinct challenges to existing IHL. We know that IHL in general, and the CCW in particular, evolved in response to a specific historical context, in a particular time, and technology era. It is important not to disregard this context as we consider laws. Therefore, even as we agree that weapons with autonomous functions must comply with international law, including IHL, we need to determine what this actually translates to and what are the means, measures, and limits necessary for doing so. The answers to these questions are also not quite as enigmatic as some would have us believe. An important gain of our protracted discussions over the years is the emergence of a common understanding that fully autonomous weapons simply cannot comply with the cardinal principles of IHL, that is, distinction, proportionality, unnecessary harm, precaution, and even the principle of humanity. Therefore, humanizing or legitimizing these weapon systems would contravene both the spirit and existing provisions of IHL. Mr. Chairman, the next rung of our discussions, having considered the case of fully autonomous weapons, is naturally the examination of different levels of autonomy built into a lethal autonomous weapon system, that is, its capabilities, rather than a particular type of weapon. Any weapon system which, in executing any of its critical functions, namely selecting or engaging a target, choosing or changing the geographical environment or temporal context, or the scope of its operation, has the capability of acting autonomously without the direct involvement and control or supervision of a human, would not be compliant with IHL and with the legal obligation to have the IHL upheld at all times. This is simply so, as the contextualized, subjective, and human-based application of existing IHL would no longer be there. Let me recall that the rules of IHL are designed to be applicable on states and functionaries of states. It includes the whole chain of decision makers, from planners to facilitators to the soldiers engaged in armed conflict, and all the others in between, or the human element of the states. It is the compliance of IHL by this human element of states that governs, regulates, and limits their choices in conduct of the tools of warfare. As is also well established, the states and their individuals remain accountable to IHL at all times, and so must all the methods and tools that they employ. This obligation and responsibility can at no stage be transferred or delegated to a weaponized machine system. Any machine system that purports to do so would have to be deemed illegal. Mr. Chairman, to then answer the original question on the means, measures, and limits necessary to ensure compliance of autonomous weapons with IHL, the only answer lays in bringing about binding rules, which ensure that humans remain in control over such weapons at all stages and times, particularly without exception in the undertaking of the aforestated critical functions. Having agreed that international law in IHL must be upheld directly leads to the need for enacting new regulations to ensure such compliance. The only other option available to the international community is to renegotiate or change IHL's cardinal rules to allow some to use these weapon systems. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.